Yeah, I'll start then. So today I'm just gonna like bunch of exercises, just do revision because this is the last class of like this whole like select from SQL section of the course. So in Blackboard posted three more things. One of them is for the people that are struggling with getting XAMPP up and running and just are annoyed at its general shittiness. You have this alternative here. So I gave this to one of the TAs and he set it up in like 2 minutes. So be easy enough. This is the setup I use at work. I use Table Plus instead of PHP MyAdmin, and I just like it in general. So, and that's what I'm going to use today for the exercise as well. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's just another editor where you can like run SQL queries against the database. It doesn't matter. You could like solve the exercises in like Notepad for care, as long as they're correct. If you haven't had any problems, or if you're like fine with PHPAdmin, just keep on using that. That's also no problem. I don't expect you to change your environment like mid semester, but if you can also use this. If you have any problems with this, you can just ask me. So today I've compiled like a. Have any of you used LeetCode? Not for this. Yeah. Well, you haven't learned databases before, so. This is a bunch of like practice exercises that I've compiled. So like LeetCode has a few thousand exercises of like programming and whatever related. They don't have that many for SQL. And then I've also went through like all the ones that were like free and just filtered out all the stuff that was like too hard or had stuff that you didn't really learn or all of that. So, and then I went through and solved all the problems just to see if they were like okay and they were fine. You should be able to solve them yourself. So that's 30. Wait. That's not the list. Wait a second. That's the wrong link. The list should have all of the exercises you should be able to solve. So if you solve all of them, you're probably going to get like an A in this section, I'm guessing. In the exam, because I'm not gonna make anything that's like way more difficult than this. At least like the harder ones. Like there's some pretty basic exercises here, but then it like kind of ramps up in difficulty. So there's a document here as well that. Give you like what my process is to like solve the exercises. So basically like I create a new database, one per exercise. Like if the exercise is super simple, just type in the query and just make sure it works. If not, I just create a database and then depending on whatever system you're in. And the exercises have a button. So say for example this one. It has a button up here that says SQL schema. You can just click on it. It'll give you like a small example of like the database and the records that you need to solve the exercise. And then you can copy that into your SQL editor. And then you're going to have like a small database that is like all you need to like solve the problem. You need to make sure it has semicolons at the end so you can run all of them. And after that, you just try and solve the exercise through like the SQL editor. You're going to get an output, and then whenever that output matches whatever the exercise wants you to get, then you should it should be safe to just put here and then submit. You can always just run your code beforehand just to make sure it's actually okay, and then you submit it, and then it's going to be like, okay, yeah, you did it the right way, or it's going to complain and be like, well, this isn't the right solution. Exercises are usually the description is usually this, where it kind of just talks about what the tables are and what the fields are. Then it gives you like a description of what the query intends to get, what is the objective of the exercise, and then at the end it'll give you like some examples of what are the results for this type of input. And so for all those exercises, like, I'll post my solutions afterwards for all of them, but you can also go, like, there's a discussion tab up here that you can also see a bunch of people's solutions, how they did it, how multiple ways of solving the same problem, discussions of like why this is better or why this is worse. So this is also like a good way of learning all of these, because the only way to like learn this is just, it's not memorizing the commands, it's not like studying the thing, it's just like doing a bunch of exercises, and then you're going to like recognize common patterns of like, oh yeah, the exercise asks for this, then I should do like a join, or I should do a union, or whatever, right? Any questions? No? I'll just give some minutes to set up, and then we can start going through the exercises. I can select a few that we can go through together, and then I'll give you some time to do it on your own as well and all that stuff. Sound good? Yeah. Cool. And in the meantime, I'll fix this link. Let's see. You can also log in with your like GitHub or like Google account or whatever. Shouldn't, no. If you're against creating an, I can also give you like all the exercises, but then it's harder for you to check if the your solution is correct or not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can also use like 10-minute email or something like that. Yeah. If you're, that's just an example. So you just add whatever the number of exercises, like lead code, whatever the fuck, when we actually like start. So like, say if we're starting here, like exercise one, like the way I do it is, oh, okay, yeah, okay, let me see, maybe it's not public. Wait a second. Is he public? Did I put in the wrong link or? Yeah, I've updated the link now, so maybe if you refresh the page, you can get it. Because it shows up for me now. Like, if I go here, yeah, okay. Yeah, I just updated the link because the other list had like a bunch of exercises that were a bit too hard, I think. Can I start? Or can I start? No. I can start with simple ones, and then you can like catch up. What room? Oh, yeah, it's a link for it in Blackboard. So the exercises aren't, so like the first one is a is not the easiest one, so you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but that is still so that yeah, but that is still like easy-ish. But yeah, I have a list. Like the perceived difficulties of each of them. You also have, or that I like thought like, because every exercise has a rating here, so it's like easy or medium or hard. I think there's only, I only put one hard exercise in this, which might be like a bit too hard. If you can do it, then good. But most is like in the easy range, or like there's a few in the medium range too. That is more like the scope of this class. So you can always check the difficulty that also like I since I had to like solve all these exercises to make sure they were okay, I also divided them by like what type it is, and that's what I'm going to go through now. So I'm going to select some exercises of like, oh, this is like just simple queries, or this is like whatever. But I'm not going to give you that list because that's like too much help, I think. Because if I'm like, well, you solve this exercise by a join, that kind of takes away from like, you know, you're not going to have exam. So. But yeah. This is the first exercise that should be like fairly simple. Bump this up. So there's a world table. If you see the example, it has like a bunch of countries, their continent, their area, population, and GDP. And then the description is basically select all the big countries, and the country is big if it's has an area of at least 3 million square kilometers or a population of at least 25 million, and then just get all the results in any order. A lot of times I struggled with it too, is that like at the bottom of the exercise it's like, oh, order the results by something, and then I always get it wrong because I'm skipping everything just to make it, like solve it quickly, and then I get it wrong. But at the end, it always says like either any order or order it by something. So if you get the results wrong, maybe it's that. Yeah. So, how would you solve this? Pretty good decision. You basically said the query out loud. So yeah, it is. And most of the puzzles should be like this. They shouldn't be like ambiguous at all. Because if there's room for interpretation, then there's going to be like different queries. Right, there's like, oh, but I interpreted the exercise this way, and the of the exercise like, oh no, but I actually meant this. So if the exercise like this, then you it's a bit easier to like, you know, actually arrive at the right result. If you get like, oh, the details of the country, then it's like, what is details? Is it like all the columns? So but yeah, this was fairly easy. I have my solutions here, and I'm not gonna type them out because that I've already done that once. Vague countries. Yeah. So as you said, selecting the name and the population and the area from the table, and then the area is above this. The good thing is that like you don't even need to like bother typing it out. You can just like copy paste the values, and then yeah, you end up with that. So then you can come down here and run code. This will run it against like some test cases and just make sure it's correct. You can also change the test case to see, because the this description of the problem is generic enough that it should work with like different sorts of like data sets, right? So if you change the data set, the result should still be like valid, fulfill this description. So you'll see that maybe your query works for the example, but it doesn't work for whatever other test case they've put in there. So then there's something you need to change in your query to make it so it's actually correct. Yeah. So that was easy enough. Let me see. Not boring movies. So we have a table that has a bunch of movies and descriptions and their ratings. So then write a SQL query to report the movies with odd numbered IDs, and the description is not boring. Return the result table ordered by rating in descending order. So for example, of all these here, and then we're only returning the movies that have a odd ID, so 1, 3, 5, and then we're also filtering out the Irish movie here because it was boring. So then, like another fairly like easy solution, right? So you just need to like break it down into two parts. So one is, how do I take away all the stuff that is boring, and then how do I get all the stuff that is that has odd IDs, and then just put them together. I think I have a database for this. Let me see. So using that SQL schema thing, I create a database. Are you trying to solve it, or should I just go ahead? Have you refreshed the page? The Blackboard page? Did you refresh it? Did you like go out and in again? got it?
Yeah.
Try this again. Anyone else get it? Or? Yeah. Yeah, cool. But in getting it, did you get the list or did you get the exercise? Okay, yeah. Anyone else get the query right? The, I don't know how much have you used, like, yeah, how, like, do you know how to, like, differentiate between, like, an odd number and an even number? Is this something that's part of your skill set? Or, yeah. I didn't remember like how to do it, so I checked the cheat sheet. And it's there. So like most of the stuff that I didn't remember, I just used the cheat sheet to make sure that like all of it was there. And so that should be good enough for you to like solve the exercises. So yeah, and then just filtering out all the boring stuff is fairly straightforward too, right? Just whatever is different from. Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, the getting this exercise right was basically you either know how to check if a number is or not, or you don't, and then you're kind of screwed. So yeah, this is the query. So selecting everything from the table cinema where the description is not boring and the ID mod 2 equals 1. Does that work too? And then just order it by the rating. Yeah, it does. So yeah. So what this does is basically divides this number by this number, and then whatever the result is, the remainder of that division. So if you're dividing 10 by 2, you're getting 5, which is, there's no remainder in that division, so that's 0. It's 11 by 2. Yeah, it depends from SQL type to SQL type. So it depends if it works on your system or not. In some places, you like this. Yeah. Some places this doesn't work, but so then you use this, but then it's just like trial and error. Did it work? Yeah, okay, then I'll just keep it. If it doesn't, then just use the other one. The only difference there, or the only thing you need to pay attention to, is the nulls, right? Because you can't do like not equals or equals to null. That's the only thing that actually makes a difference, is that this doesn't work. And that's because any value that's compared to null like this output known for some reason. So it never works. You always have to do like is null or is not null. That's the only thing to pay attention to. Because like any operation with like any of those like comparison operators that involve null always return a known, which is not, it isn't anything. Like this. We can try. Then you get an error that says blah blah blah, write syntax near void, which isn't really descriptive, but it's basically just like, no, doesn't work. But if not like that works. That actually executes, because the like operator is always like used for this stuff, and then the way of getting not is just putting a not before it, like with everything else, right? Not can be used with like between, for example, as well, like not between a value and a value, all that stuff. Not can usually be inserted wherever you want. So yeah, we can do an exercise with like. So this one. So write query to report the patient ID, name, and all conditions of the patients who have type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes always starts with DIAB1 prefix and return it at any order. If you see the patients table here, you have DIAB100, so Bob does, and Elaine also does. Elaine starts with DIAB2, so in the results, but then you also have George, where it's the second one. He also needs to be in the results. So I can then you have to finish it. So you're just selecting everything from patients, and then how do you fix this condition? So in this exercise, you need to pay attention that like this can both be in the beginning of everything, or it can be the second one. So like that's not the same. So you need to account for both of those cases. And if it's in the middle of the string, that also shouldn't work. So if it's like SA and DIAB1, like this shouldn't be like a result. So it starts with, right, so like you need to use like, because it's not like a straight equality, it's like a matching against like a subquery or a substring. So then you need to use wildcards as well, with like where do you put them. Remember, this means you match zero more characters before, this is zero more characters after, and this is just one, or exactly one. So we need to account for a few different situations here. So the first of them is, what if, let's just say initially we do this, right, like diab and then one. This would probably be like the initial, like, oh, I'm going to do it like this, which it works, except for what if there's a prefix to diab, like that shouldn't show up in the result set, so this won't work. If there's something before here, this is going to match it, and this is not the same. So then you could just do this. Okay, let me take away the wild card, but then this only matches the stuff that is in the beginning of the string. But if you have, like down here, if we have a this one, the second one isn't in the beginning of the string, doesn't really, this won't work. You can always add like more conditions afterwards. So this would cover the first case, which is this, and then if you want to cover the second case, you can do like or conditions, like a space on the wildcard and diab. So this will cover all the conditions where that the diabetes is the first one. So there's always like a space before, so we make sure there's like no prefixes to value, right? And then it can be whatever before, hence account for this being the second one, and then there can be whatever afterwards, so it can account for all the other stuff that comes afterwards. Yeah, but it's kind of like, I feel like this is an easier solution. But absolutely, absolutely it can. I would probably use read. Yeah. But it's yeah. Again, because I don't really know what kind of knowledge you come with, and also you have people that don't know rejects, right? But we also have like people from other like courses and stuff. Yeah, and I'm not gonna teach them rejects for the sole purpose of the class. That's a bit much, I think. That's a bit overkill. Yeah, you can't. That's what he was saying. Yeah, but it's a bit over. Think so. This is a nice simple solution. You look at it and it's like, oh, you know, I understand what's there, instead of just a bunch of different like weird ass characters that people that know no rejects are still called. What is this? For MySQL, I don't know actually, but we can take that segue, I guess. Let me see. So whether string matches the rejects expression, this is the MySQL reference. So every time I'm like coming to this website, what I'm searching on Google is basically MySQL, and then I end up here. And you could probably just use this function, which select whatever the matches that. But for all the people, they're like, what the fuck? Don't worry about it, it's fine. Yeah. I'm guessing this is about the time that we would take a break, but it's up to you if you want me to like keep exercises or we take the break. I feel like this is a lot chiller than the normal me talking for like half an hour type of class. So if you need it, you can go. If so, just keep on going. It's up to you. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Simple stuff, and then the people that are staying, do you want me to do some more exercises or just want silence? It's up to you. Yeah, silence. I think that's everyone, isn't it? I'm going to ramp up the difficulty of the exercises a bit, just because I'm going to solve all the easy ones, then you're going to go home and like try to solve the other ones, and you're going to be like, what the f***? This is hard. So I am going to like stuff that involves like more than just a couple where statements. So let's see. From the list, we can take spent by each employee, group, daily leads and partners. This one. It's fine, total time. Fine, total time spent by each employee. So, write a SQL query to calculate the total number in minutes, total time in minutes spent by each employee on each day at the office. Note that within one day, an employee can enter and leave more than once. So in the example here, you can see that employee 1 came in at 4 or and then left at 32 and then in at 55 and then 200, and there's no other examples of that. So if somebody took a break or whatever, this is how much time they spent in the office. And then just return all those values. So each record should have its own day and employee number, and then the total time that employee spent in the office that day. So you can see that all the pairs of employees are different. Start at least. Select, and then it's gonna be some columns here, I don't know what yet, and then from employees. Employees. And then it asks for the day, so we can do the same field as this one, so we can do like event day, and then you also need to pay attention. It's like sometimes you get the exercises wrong as well because you don't name the columns correctly. So here you can see that event day becomes day, then remember use the alias. Yeah, and then we're also selecting the employee ID. And that also like maps directly to whatever the value here is, right? So we don't really need to do anything there. The only hard part in this query, how do you get the total time, right? You need to add up all of it, which means you need to use an aggregate function, which is sum. So you need to like sum up some values, right? And whenever you're using aggregate functions like this, like sum or count or average or maximum or minimum and all that stuff, if you want those functions to be applied to everything in the table, then just leave it as it is. But most often than not, you need to like group by something, right? Which means take all the data, group in a certain way, and then apply those functions to these like subdivisions of the result set. So then what do you group it by? So you can't group it just by day, because if an employee, if two employees would come in the same day, then that sum would be like all those values, right? So it would be like both the times that the employee one was there plus the times employee two was there, which is not what we want. You also can't just group it by just employee ID, because then you'd get the sum of all of the time that employee has stayed in the office, which is also not what we want. What we want is for the values to be grouped both by employee ID and by event day. So then you can just put in like event day and employee ID. And this will basically go through and group all this data here, both by the event day, so this is one group, the employee ID, so this is another group, and this is another group, and this is another group. And then for the sum, you need to take how much time the employee was there, so that's when they went out, minus when they went in. You can do operations over like the values of multiple columns, remember that? So out time minus in time, that gives you like the amount of time they spent in there, and then sum it up for those groups, right? You end up with this sort of result, where you have this group, which is the day 28 and employee 1, and then the sum for all those time intervals, which is these two, and then you have day 28, employee 2, and then this time interval, which is 33, which is 30, and then blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Did that make sense? Cool. Correct. Yeah. So that's why I like got a lot of questions wrong while I was doing it. It's like, ah, fuck. Okay, yeah, I need to rename this column again. Yeah. But that's why like I try not to try to do it in like PHP MyAdmin or other stuff before, just to make sure like, oh, did I actually get the result? Instead of just submitting again and again, and then denied. Oh, okay, what is it now? That was like a fairly easy like grouping thing. Fair enough. Next one. So we can do this one. Bank account summary. So this exercise, we have an account or the users table with an account and the name of the account holder, and then we have a bunch of transactions in that account. So we should write a SQL query to report the name and balance of users with a higher than 10,000, and the balance of an account is equal to the sum of the amounts of all transactions involving that account. So we have the users and we have the transactions. So take for each of the users, get all the transactions, get the sum of those values, and then that's how much money they have in their bank account. And then filter those results on whoever has more than 10,000. This was bank account summary. Bank account summary 2. So break it down into steps. I think I have database here. I just don't know how visible is that. Do any of you need glasses that haven't brought them or something? Or just like readable enough? Yeah, I'll do it here then. Let me see. This was 1587. First we can select, we're going to need to do a join, right? We need both data from the user's table, which is the name of the user, and then we need like the amount which you get from the transactions table. So we're selecting from users, and then we can just join on transactions, and then on users account equals on transactions account. Yeah, so this will give us like all the data just in one, and then we can go from there. So then what we need to do is we need both the name of the user, transactions, so we can do user's name as name, and then we need like the sum of all those values that relate to a person, so as balance, and then that is we're summing up all the transaction amounts, right, for a single user. So for example, plus what we want is 7,000 plus 7,000 minus 3,000, so we can just do sum of the transaction amounts. And then we also need to use the group by, and in this case we could like group by name, by account account ID, but like each of them seem to be unique in this data set, but it's sometimes people have the same name, so it's better just to do by transactions account. I don't know if you get this error in phpMyAdmin. Sometimes it happens here when I create these databases from scratch. The solution for this is just to set SQL mode equals this for some reason. I don't know why, but then that's what the internet told me. So then we have like these three results, which are the totals or the balance of each of the clients, right? And then we need to filter to get the people that have more than 10,000. This is like quite a small data set, so we could have just been like, tell us, we don't need to do anything else. But if we have like a huge data set, then we would need to filter it using the computer. Stuff, remember, if we're filtering the end result of a group, we need to use halving. If we're filtering the rows that are used beforehand, then we use where before by. So here we're filtering against the final result, right, of all the summed up stuff. So then we actually use having keyword and then having. So when, yeah, pretty much it's like when through like, oh yeah, yeah, pretty much. So if you're doing here where the balance is more than 11 or more than 11,000, the where comes here, where, and then you do like balance more than 10,000. But this doesn't work because it doesn't, that's not a column at this point. So then you need to do like having some transaction amount, blah blah blah. If you're filtering on the stuff that goes before the grouping actually occurs, if we take all of these, so let's say I'm only take the positive values into account, then you would do like where amount is more than zero, right? And then you get all the values that are more than zero for the amount of the transactions. And then say if you want to like get the grouping of all these values, so like just ignore all the losses from the accounts and then sum up all the valid positive values, then you can do like group by was it account, and then sum of those values. Was it like users? So here you see that it ended up with like 14,000, 10,000, 12,000. If I take away the where condition, then it's adding the negatives values as well. So you end up with 11,000, 1,000, and 8,000. So this is filtering on all the rows that happened before like the grouping is done, because then I can also just filter after the grouping is done, and then it would be like where the sum of amount is more like 2,000, and then that would filter that out. Right? Does that make sense? Cool. So yeah, this was the query then. So get me the names and the sum of all the amounts using from users, joining with transactions, and then grouping by the account, and then where the sum of those amounts is more than 10,000. And then, yeah. That is how you'd solve this exercise. Half an hour left. Let me see. This exercise is all about functions. So all the functions of like strings and stuff. So there's a bunch of names. They all look like they're out of like a Bob meme thing. So just make it so that they have like proper capitalization, right? So selecting everything from users, and then for user ID, that seems to be the same, right? But then the problem is for name, you need to like stuff to get that name in the correct way. So like you've done JavaScript, like most of you, so you'd know how to do this in JavaScript, right? Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. And then all the other stuff needs to be lowercase. You see, like Bob. You can see here. I solved this one by coming here and that's what the functions were. So we have, for example, like a substring. So this starts from start, and all the strings are one index based. So they start at one as opposed to starting at zero. And then the length. And you have the upper functions. And then if you want to strings, it's not the thing that JavaScript does, where you just add a plus everywhere. You need to use concat. So, yeah. How would you do it then? Looking at these functions, you have like a bunch of. So you have like a bunch of different stuff like this, right? And then to turn Bob into normal Bob, like, what do you need to do? Okay. So you like make this lower. I do. Yeah. Yeah. So, substring of this, or but say it in JavaScript then. How would you do it in JavaScript? Yeah, because you assigned this to a variable. Some people don't like it. Everything needs to be functional. Then everything needs to be like a complete, like a nested of functions until you get to the right result. Depends on the paradigm. No, this is there of all the exercises in the list, there's nothing that like that doesn't use anything other than select. So here is just like output a table that looks like this. So what was this exercise? It was names in table. So in a lot of like programming like paradigms, you actually don't like create variables at all. Everything is just like a nested mess of function calls. SQL is kind of like that. So what was it? Fix names in the table. So as you said, we need to like take it into like lowercase, right? and then you lowercase everything from name after position 2, and you take the substring that is just the first character, and you make that uppercase, and then you concat both of them. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. So, yeah, this is like, maybe if you go to the discussion, maybe there's like a better way of doing it. But this is the way I did it, at least. Let me see. Detailed explanation of query. Yeah, it's the same one. Two approaches. Two upper, and then left, and then right. No, this is not. At least to me, like, this one that makes the most sense. But yeah, like, if you're used to like using variables for everything, it's kind of like, this is a bit not that nice. But yeah, so take. Does it make sense though? Take the first character and make it uppercase, take everything else and make it lowercase, and then concat both of those strings. This is why, like, in general, like, I've been working for a few years, I've never used any of these functions. Because it's just easier to do it in like a Java or a Golang or whatever, or JavaScript or whatever you're using in the backend, as opposed to doing it in the query where it's a mess. I feel like the way we organize stuff is that you just retrieve all the data from the database. And then you just process that data in your like programming language where it makes sense, as opposed to doing it in the query. Yeah, you can see there's concat. It's this function that is called for that second column. So properly indented, it would be something like this. It's probably if any exercises involving functions with strings is going to be in the exam, it's probably like something simple, which is like substring or something like that instead of something like this. I hope so. If they say that, like, oh, we can only give you like a, or we can only give you a room where can all use paper, I'm going to be kind of and hopefully at the very least you have like access to all the resources on Blackboard. Hopefully be enough so you don't have to memorize anything that you don't have to, that I don't know. I'm unsure how all that stuff works. That's changed quite a bit in the last few years with the whole COVID thing, so yeah, we'll see. Because it's not like a take-home exam where everybody can like talk to each other, like, oh, did you solve this one? And as long as it's not like you have to write SQL code by hand, because that's no, that's what I had to do in school, and that was fun. So Let me see another exercise. We'll do some unions. So this one. Close the tabs. So we have a bunch of stocks in a table, and they have a name, and they have an option, which is buy or sell, and they have a day, and they have a price. And what this basically wants is how much money did you end up with for each of the stocks after buying and selling them a bunch of times. So yeah. The shitty part of this is you have, instead of having a nicely formatted number here with a minus or a plus, you have this buy sell column that kind of, yeah, ruins any easy like sums group buys thing. So there's like a number of ways of solving this. I don't know why if clauses aren't talked about, nor they weren't in the slides until now. I don't know if they were considered to be too complex for the scope of this subject or not. But you can do like ifs for values, and then you get like one value or the other in selects when you're doing it. The alternative is using for this. So let me see. Capital gain loss. So the way I did it without using ifs was, I'll do it in the database. 1393. So first of all, it's already there. Let me just move this a bit down. So first, selecting all the stock prices or stock transactions where the operation was buy. If it's buy, that means the value should be negative, right? So the objective here is to end up with a table where you can just sum, and then you just like do it as you do it if it was properly, if they didn't make it hard for us. So as capital gain loss, remember when since we're doing the process to use unions, both the number of columns and the types or the values should be the same. So here we're already like preparing stuff for the final result. So selecting from stocks where operation is buy. So if we run this query, then we have all of the stock names and all of the nicely formatted values for those stock names. And then for the positive values, we do the same, but instead of having a negative price, we can just have a positive one. We can just use whatever that was, and then we're selling, so sell. And then if we want both of these tables in the same one, right, so we can like easily just sum them all up, one alternative is to do union. The problem with union is that, remember from yesterday, that union removes all the the duplicate values, which means if we have if we have two values that are the same in these tables, that is not going to be in the final result. And here we have two operations that have both the same stock name and the same price. So that would kind of screw up the results, and you wouldn't really know why. Because that those rows would be, like, one of them would be removed, and that would, like, screw up the whole, like, total. So when you're selecting everything like this, and you want all the results, all you use, like, union all instead of union. And then this will give you all the stock names and all the transaction values for all these stocks. So from there, it should be, like, fairly easy to just sum up all these values, right? To do that, you can always, like, select what is it, stock name, and then the sum of this column, and then the output wanted it as capital gain loss. And then when you're selecting from, like, if you have a computed table like this, just select from and that query instead of selecting from a table in the database. So you can do this. And then group by, and then. So from this computed table that we've gotten, then we can just get the sums of all those stocks and group by groups, and we would get the output. Problem is, when you're making a query like this, selecting from, and then like this, instead of being like a table from database, it's just a select statement as well. You get this error, which is every defined derived table must have its own alias. So that basically means just give it a name. It can be anything. And then I'll get you the results. Does that make sense? Kind of ish. Well, yeah. So it's kind of like you're breaking the problem into pieces, right? And then it's kind of, well, in a perfect condition, how would I have the data? Can I transform what I have into that so then I can go on to the next step? So this is how you would do it. I'm sure it, like, looks easy when I do it. If you'd come up with it, if you had, like, to do it yourselves, but hopefully by seeing this done, then maybe that'll help you get there. Yeah, exactly. And that's, like, something that is, I can't really teach you super well, right? Like, I can walk you through, like, how did I think this is how, like, this is what I did step by step, but for you to get there yourselves, you just need to practice, right? The same with, like, math and all this other subjects. It's like you just need to do exercises. So you have, like, 35 in that list. I don't know if that's enough. It might be if you're able to like do them all yourselves. Should be fine. But yeah, it's always, like, see different exercises. How are they, like, what's the description of them? See, like, different ways of, like, going from text to a query, and yeah, just practice until you know what you're doing, basically. Yeah. 5 minutes left, so I can do a super easy one, and then I can do the hardest one, just so you can leave like that. So let's see. This. So employees earning more than their managers. So we have one table that has a bunch of employees, their salary, and then their manager if they exist or not. So it's going to 181. Oh, I don't have a date. Okay. We'll do it live. So first of all, we're selecting the employees as employee from employees. Employee. And then we need to filter those results on something, right? On the salary. So give me all the employees where the salary is bigger than something. Where salary is bigger than, and then it would be salary of manager. That'd be easy. But we have that information, so we kind of need to replace whatever this would be with a query. So we need to figure out what the salary of the that person's manager is. So to do that, we need like a nested query. We like select, and then how do we find the salary of that person's manager? So selecting from employee, we can call this table like manager, and then where the manager salary is bigger than or is smaller than, and then the employee that we have out here, right? Salary. But then we also need to so this refers to this inner employee table. So this is the same as, say, if this wasn't for every employee, right? So if we're just information for one employee. So give me the salary for the employee where the manager salary is more than, I don't know, is less than 10,000, and where the manager ID equals something like 2. So this would be a query where you'd get the salary of a manager whose salary is less than that, and where their ID is this. But instead of having it hard-coded, so instead of having 2 and 10,000, these are variables. These are the employee was a salary, and then the employee manager ID. So if you're thinking from like the JavaScript perspective, imagine this is like a function, right? Where you have like get the salary of